it's riding on this. You need to find a firm to trust, a friendly face that understands you. So many people turn to us, hurt on the job or injured on the highway. If you want results, there's only one way. Experience what makes us different. Let us prove we're always here for you. We know the law, we know our practice. The legal team that's tried and true. Here for you. With over 20 years in business, we know what's right.
And good morning, everyone. This is Sal Ferlazzo, always here for you. That's the theme song for Gervin and Ferlazzo. And that's my son, Donald, who sang that. And we're now 25 years in practice, as Ryan Mullahy, my co-host, identified. Hello, Ryan. Welcome.
I just feel like a son to you, Sal.
Yeah, you are. You're about the same age as my son.
I don't sing.
No, you don't sing. Please don't sing. But you, are one of my partners now. Used to be just one of the young associates running around trying to make a name for himself. And now he's a big shot. He's a partner nipping at my heels, take my name down off the firm so he can, happy Thanksgiving, Ryan, for taking over for me.
It's good to see you,
but
Sal.
It's great to see you too. How's everything, you, Carrie, and all the kids?
We survived Thanksgiving. It went well. I cooked.
So, whoa.
Yeah, that's my thing. And now we're just dealing with the post-Thanksgiving ear infections among the children.
Well, you're a country farmer now, so.
That's part of it.
And yeah, my grandson is home and he's got, ear infections. He's got two. So I guess it's time for ear infections if you have little kids around.
Yeah, tis the season.
Well, and so, this is a special depressing Thanksgiving show.
we're gonna turn it around.
We're just gonna depress everybody.
We're turning it around.
What else can we talk about that went wrong? But this is the Gervin Ferlazzo Law Show. It's not the investment show, Ryan. I think everybody who tunes in after, the car care show, and Rich Vassy came by. He's a fun guy. He's got a great smile. Not everybody has met Rich, but when you meet him, he just has an infectious smile and he's a wonderful guy. And, Paul, I was on Paul yesterday and he asked if we could move it up because, the investment show is off today. And, interestingly, we used to do the show from 9 to 11.
When we
first started, it was a 2-hour show. We were 9 to 11 and then we went to an hour and then the investment show took 9 to 10. They enjoyed that, change. And then we are normally 10 to 11. So if you, are new to the show, Gervin and Ferlazzo is a law firm, a local law firm. We started practicing together in 1991. A bunch of us were part of O'Connell and Aronowitz, and we started what was known as Roberti Gervin and Ferlazzo. Then we became Gervin and Ferlazzo when Mike left to go down to Georgia in 2001. And we are located at 20 Corporate Woods Boulevard, Albany, New York. Web is www.gervinlaw.com. That's Gervin, GIRVINLAW.com. We're a legal talk show. We chat about different topics. Our phone number here at Talk 1300 and FM 98.7 is 518-476-1300. You know the number, 518-476-1300. Topics, Ryan, I think one of the topics is it's time to thank your lawyers for all the things that they did for you, whether it's us or other law firms. You know, people tease about lawyers all the time, but quite frankly, we provide more free services to the public than I think any other profession. It's part of, you know, what lawyers do. We're lucky to have our license, mm-hmm. and pro bono is a major part of what we do. I was thinking on the way over, even this show, we used to do 2 hours a day or a week, and then you multiply up. I think we did that for about 10 years. So that's I don't know, 1,000 hours.
You want to do math, Sal?
I want to do
math.
We're
at the earlier hour this morning.
And then we've been doing the show for maybe 5 or 6 years for 1 hour a week. So it's you know, thousands of hours, and we've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
Sure.
And we hope you've learned. I even got a call from someone the other day. When are you going to be back on? And I go, I just took a little time off, and to do, you know, go away to see my grandkid and other things. But we're here, and the number is 518-476-1300. So shake your little noggins. Think about what good things your lawyers have done for you. I want to send a special thank you to William Toomey, local estate attorney. I went to St. Teresa's with his son, Bill, who was also an attorney. And his dad, William Toomey Jr., called and clarified something this week. Apparently, last week there was a question on voluntary administrations and on small estates and basically under $30,000. And he wanted to clarify that the person who makes that that voluntary administrator does not get paid. I guess there was some question, and we don't really do a lot of this type of law, and one of the guys had answered a question properly, but maybe not as clearly. Bill, I asked him to call in to explain that. I did my best to explain what he had told me, but I want to thank him. Actually, I remember when I was in eighth grade, he came to our career day, and I watched him and heard him, and I wanted to be a lawyer. So I want to thank Mr. Toomey, William Toomey, and all the other lawyers out there who have given their time and efforts to help people. And I also want to be thankful for Liz, our first caller of the day. Hello, Liz. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good morning,
Liz.
So let's just, this is about sexual harassment.
Okay, let's talk about it. That's one of my topics, that personal injury and municipal work I was going to chat with today, but let's do it. It's very topical these days.
Okay, so let's say you own a business, a small business, a painting store.
Okay, that's...
And so you hire outside contractors to work for you. And they go out on a job. Of course, they're not employees. They're outside contractors. They go out on a job. And the customer complains and says, you know, it was inappropriate what this person did. How much liability does the store have, if any?
Well,
it's something that we deal with quite frequently when we draft these policies for a lot of our clients, both public and private sector. We want to be careful with that because if you start getting notice – whether it's one time, two times, or three times that your independent contractors are out there doing things under your banner, albeit they're not your employees, it's something you have to be careful of because, one, your reputation, obviously, which isn't necessarily a legal issue, but two, if something does happen and you've been on notice again and again and again and you're still putting these people back out there, there's going to be a lawyer out there who's going to try to fashion some sort of claim about what obligations you may owe to your clients. It's a little more clear, though, in our world with what we do, all our policies that we draft will speak to and cover these third-party contractors because we don't want our employees. In our case, we're concerned about our employees, primarily not our users, our clients, but we want to protect everybody we can. But to your question, does liability directly flow back the way it would if it was an employee? No, it's going to be a little different, but it's enough. There's enough overlap there for me as a lawyer to hear that and have concern, certainly about utilizing them going forward.
Yeah, and Liz, if you're hiring independent contractors and the customer doesn't know that, that's another issue. So, in other words, they call you and it's a painting company and you sent out painters, you sell the paint, and if they don't know, then they may be able to argue that there was an apparent employment. But the bigger issue that Ryan raises is once you are aware of a situation, you've got to take action. Now, the hard part is if there's a denial and the person says, I didn't do anything, and then there's a question, and that's really the twilight zone, as I like to call it, where it's difficult to do something. But do you have liability? Generally, you don't have liability for independent contractors, but you may if you hire one that has like a criminal record, you know, doing this type of thing, or other investigations show that you know there've been complaints from the public, and you continue to hire them. Now you may have adopted liability.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I think that you said. One is that if there is a if it's happened before,
yes,
and you know about it, right?
Correct. If you act and you like this example, if you're the owner and some customer complains, and then you ignore that complaint, don't do any investigation, turn around, send that independent contractor out to another person. That you're on notice that there's a potential problem. If you take no action, that's negligence, and you could be you could be sued very easily.
So if you have, let's say, an outside contractor that has some sort of a police record, Mm-hmm. It might be wise for you to carry a liability on that person, even though they don't work directly for you. Is that, I think I heard that too.
You're going to want, and Sal's, I'm sure Sal's going to talk about insurance throughout the show, but you're always going to want to have coverage. You want to be very careful. We're not suggesting that, you know, if you have a record, if someone has a record, they should be terminated or anything.
Correct.
Like that.
Or not hired.
Right.
Because there are laws against
that.
Right. No, I just want to clarify. I know you're not, just the listeners out there who might be taking notes, but, if you have concerns, whether it's an employer or a contractor you're working with, then looking into your policy to see what's covered and seeing if you can juice it up a little bit for general liability or for the actions of those folks would not be a bad thing. I mean, Sal and I, we might as well be insurance salesmen the way we talk about insurance.
But, we do.
But it's never a bad thing in our opinions to make sure you know your policy, the contents of your policy. And if you do have these concerns about what type of exposure would I have if an independent contractor do this or that, your insurance agent should be able to speak to you about what you need.
See, the beauty of insurance is it's twofold. Not only are you getting covered if something goes wrong, unfortunately, but you're also not paying any legal fees. So you're getting a free lawyer and coverage.
Right,
so it's a double benefit, which people don't realize when they're buying insurance of different types. So in your particular case, if I were the owner and that occurred and I had an independent contractor, I may not have that independent contractor come again. Why? Do you want to risk the fact that you're gambling with them? And that's unfortunate, but if there's a complaint from a consumer, you have to give that some credence. Why would a consumer call up and just complain about, an independent contractor? So I would talk to the independent contractor, maybe get an affidavit out of them, make them swear under oath. So if they did something, they can swear under oath that they didn't, then I would trust them more than if they said, well, I'm not going to sign that. Don't do that to me. So I think you got to take action. And if you don't take action, you're generally not held liable for independent contractors. Mm-hmm. That's why you want an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
right.
if you do something wrong and you step into a situation where you know that independent contractor has a track record of harming people and yet you send them out there, you could be exposed. What lawyers do, again, when there's not enough insurance, is they start expanding their web. I do this when I do personal injury work. It's just simple as that. If somebody does something wrong and they don't have enough insurance, I see if there's any other potentially responsible people. Municipalities are all the time. There's accidents and there's small amount of insurance. And then people start looking to the road. Is it defectively designed? Was it not maintained? They start looking at other aspects. So same as you. They're going to look at the independent contractor. He or she may not have insurance, may not have assets. So they're going to go to the person next in line, which is you. So you got to protect yourself, Liz.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Go
ahead.
So let's say in that little painting store, I get called on by paint manufacturers. So whoever it is, could be Benjamin Moore or anybody. So they send a salesman out to my store, and that salesman maybe is flirting with one of my salespeople or whatever he's doing, she's feeling really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I report it back to them. They don't do anything about it. Now I'm thinking my employee really has a case against me if I don't do something. So now I'm trying to figure, that seems like a gray area too.
That's a little more tangential than I think the original scenario, because now you have...
Yes.
Now you have an outside party coming in. We would always encourage our clients to take those appropriate steps to protect their employees. And what that normally would mean is you have some sort of sexual harassment policy in place. Your employees are aware of it and they know who they can report their concerns to. Based on this hypothetical you're presenting, it sounds like the employee does know that and they did go to you in this hypothetical. So now what your obligation would be is you're aware of the concern, you're aware of the situation. You should be on the horn with whatever vendor it is that's sending this person. Let them know, look, here's what's happening. We can't allow this to happen going forward. I would have concerns in this hypothetical. I would have concerns now about subjecting that particular salesperson to having to interact with the vendor that she's made the complaint about. You start doing that, and now the work environment starts becoming what we call the hostile work environment.
Right, that's the problem you have there. It becomes hostile, and then that's a problem.
So that's a little more clear to me as far as the concerns about liability and where it flows back to. In that second scenario, I'd have more concerns about you directly your hypothetical paint shop.
See, well, our firm does sexual harassment training. And their training is helpful because it alerts people who are employed and supervisors and non-supervisors of what you can do and can't do. In the old days, you know, I don't know, I'm 62, and there was a lot of joking that went around the old workplace years and years ago. It's not the same. The jokes aren't funny, and the emails aren't funny, and if there's too many of them, it can be harassment. So you need to sensitize your employees. Plus, the fact that you did harassment training shows that you as an employer are acting responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do it every week, but if you do it once a year or take, you know, certain precautions, if you nip things in the bud before they become a problem, that's how you solve things. Mm-hmm. And that's
Do you do sexual harassment training for businesses?
Yes. So- Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we do all the time, yes. We do, you know, I was telling Paul yesterday, this whole topic of sexual harassment is kind of topical now with, you know, the news and Roy Moore. It's been going on for years. And unfortunately, people have trouble believing the victims. And some victims are making the employer victims. You know, there are certain people that are out there creating cases so they can leave their job. Let's say they start doing poorly at work. All of a sudden, I better find something to, you know, keep my employment or negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Pat Fitzgerald, I know, has done a lot of training in the private sector.
And Scott, I know
Scott Cannell does a lot. Both partners of ours, they do a lot of this. And really, the employers find it quite useful. We do it for municipalities too. We our towns and villages and county work, and then we do it for our school districts. It's the same thing, and it just shows a lot of people don't realize what's inappropriate. They just, wow, that's inappropriate? Yes, it's inappropriate.
And a big focus on what we do is how do employers protect themselves. Obviously, we always want to protect our employees. We never want our employees to be subjected to any sort of environment that would make them uncomfortable.
Right.
But we also need to get our employers, our clients, in a position where if something happens – they're as insulated as possible if a lawsuit were to occur, especially in this climate now.
So you can call us at the office. It's 462-0300. That's our, and our website is Girvin Law. We'd love to see you, Liz, and chat. We have a lot of people come in from the radio calls, and we've got a lot of longstanding clients who just we're very thankful for. So thank you for calling. Have a nice day.
Thank you so much.
You too.
All right,
this
luck.
Is the Girvin and Fralazzo Law Show. Sal Fralazzo, Ryan Mullahy. We are excited to be here. The number, of course, is 518-476-1300. We're going to chat about various topics, including personal injury, municipal work. But we have a caller here, Tom from Clifton Park. Hello, Tom. We got 3 minutes, so let's set you up and then see what we can do.
Very good. Thank you, attorneys. And good morning to you all.
Good morning. Good morning, Tom.
I am a homeowner in Clifton Park.
Yes.
And I have a legally unprotected house.
Ooh.
And I would like to know, for estate purposes and creditor protection, whether I should do a life estate or whether I should do a trust. What's your thoughts on that?
Right. When you say legally unprotected, I mean, you have an asset that you have, and I don't know if you have...
I have insurance on it. I have an umbrella policy.
Okay.
But legally, I don't have a trust.
You don't necessarily need a trust unless you want a trust. And we don't practice, Ryan and I don't practice estate law. I mean, I did a power of attorney for a family member yesterday on the day off, and we do simple wills. It depends really on your estate. If you have a certain amount of money that you have and there's like the very wealthy who are trying to get it to the next generation without paying taxes, and then there's the not so wealthy who want to take their house and get it out of their name so they can become nursing home eligible after the 5-year waiting period. So it depends.
Yeah, I'm the second case.
You're the second case. Okay, so then at that point, just having a life estate doesn't necessarily do what you want to do, because you still have a piece of it and you have the right to live there, and that's in itself an asset. So you probably want to consider a trust. What I would do, do you use email, Tom?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you send me an email at sdf@girvinlaw.com, sdf@girvin, girvinlaw.com. I'll send you the names of a couple of estate attorneys, and I think you should just chat with one of them and get a sense. My thought is that, trust will make the most sense for you. But again, that's not my area of practice. I talked about William Toomey a few moments ago, And there's other people who are also, you know, well-versed in this area. And especially because that's what your goals are. What lawyers do, everybody, folks, not just for Tom, is we kind of assess what the needs are of the client. And your needs are different than other people's needs with respect to house transfers.
Right.
And that's why you need a qualified person who does this all the time. And we want to give you one. So send me an email, and I'll be happy to respond on Monday. Okay?
Thank you so very
Thank you, Tom. It's great chatting. And Clifton Park, that's where my son lives. And he's...
I heard that's a popular location
it's
nowadays.
Really, it's wild. When he bought his house, I helped him with the negotiations in the spring. My gosh, it was, it was double offers. You know, yeah, it was amazing.
It's very popular up there.
It is popular up there. And he is, yeah, so he does our song. He lives in Clifton Park. I don't know what else we can do, but I think we're finished with the first half hour. Is this already done? We're about, okay. Folks, this is a fast time, but we do want to wish you a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I know there's, you hear about news and accidents, things that occur. We do a lot of personal injuries, so we see a lot of people who go through, you know, very low parts of their life. But, we're here, for the next half hour. We're here all the time at the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Firm. This is Sal Ferlazzo, Ryan Mullahy. We've got a half hour left, so get your questions ready here on Talk 1300.
This is WGDJ Rensselaer and W254DA Albany, the Capital District's talk radio on Talk 1300 and 98.7 FM.
A sex abuse investigation leads to criminal charges. I'm Mike Carey in the Talk 1300, 98.7 Newsroom. A Schoharie County man is facing sex abuse charges. State police arrested 29-year-old Jose Bruno of Richmondville in connection with a February incident. They say Bruno sexually abused two children under the age of 10 at a home in Richmondville. He's charged with sex abuse and endangering the welfare of a child. He was arraigned in Richmondville Town Court and was sent to the Schoharie County Jail in lieu of $20,000 bail. New charges have been filed against a homeless man accused in a pair of Schenectady County robberies. 30-year-old Maurice Miller is now facing charges in connection with the November 7th robbery of the Stewarts on Van Vranken Avenue in Schenectady and the November 11th robbery of the Dunkin' Donuts on Broadway in Schenectady. Miller was already facing charges in the November 10th robbery of the Stewarts on Mariahville Road in Rotterdam and the November 16th robbery of the Sunoco Station on Erie Boulevard in Schenectady. In all four cases, police say Miller used a knife to rob the stores. He remains in the Schenectady County Jail. The State Department of Environmental Conservation is setting up a protective zone in the town of Glenville after tests confirmed the presence of a deadly tree fungal disease. Officials say the disease was found in the Sanders Preserve and at a private property on St. Jude Lane. As a result, the DEC has quarantined those areas, prohibiting removal of oak wood or firewood. It's the third time in the past 9 years the oak wilt disease has been found in the town of Glenville. Officials say there's no known treatment other than to remove infected trees. Anyone who may suspect a tree is infected is urged to contact the state DEC. Weather forecast from Spectrum News meteorologist Heather Morrison. Increasing clouds today. Chance of showers and a high in the low 50s. Chance of showers tonight with a low in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Tomorrow's high in the low 40s. I'm Mike Carey, and you're up to date on your home for Siena basketball. Talk 1398.7.
Now, the most live, local talk with the Gerben and Verlazzo Law Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Ryan.
Thanks for having me back, Sal.
It's great to have you here. It's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed working with you over the years, and I remember when you were a young radio novice, and now you're and now you're just a pro, and you know, it's just fun to have you here. And it's fun to have, you remember those days, Ryan?
You had me on, Sal, you had me on when I was still in law school as a clerk for the firm.
Yeah.
Me and Lauren Atwood came on.
Well,
and Lauren stole the show. You and Lauren stole the show, and I sat kind of in the corner.
Lauren was fabulous. Yeah. She was a great attorney, a lot of fun, and really smart person who left, started working for the state of New York in their attorney area.
Good. I get more airtime now in her absence.
So yeah, I know, but boy, she was great and a wonderful person, and I want to thank her for all the great stuff that she did
it's
for
our
us.
Thanksgiving show. We're all very thankful.
Yeah, we're all very thankful. And just to set up the show again, we're going to be taking calls at 518-476-1300. We're going to chat about personal injury issues. I know that we had the news about the man who had a little kid driving and the little kid got hurt.
Terrible.
And then he left the scene. And, you know, people do things that just don't, they seem to make sense at the time. And obviously that's where negligence laws come in. And that's where you have to discourage his conduct by having suits. I mean, other than that, there's no way to prevent people from just doing what would not be considered a smart thing. And Ryan was looking on the emails or the web before, and apparently some crazy guy in Washington State was driving drunk while having sex, and he hit a tree. And that's a little negligent, too, I would
think.
Is that
not recommended, Sal?
No, that's just a lot of multitasking and not very smart action. So, you know, personal injury sounds, you know, kind of funny, like, oh, that's a goofy story. And I think in that case, it was only property damage. But when you're injured and you're hurt and you can't go to work and your life is in upheaval and you can't take care of your little kids with their ear infections, you know, life is not good. And that's why, again, the personal injury bar, and we have a couple of people who do that. And we've been doing it for years. Daniel Rubin is running our group these days, with assistance from me and Matt Tullio. So, and then we do a lot of municipal work. I'm a town attorney many places. Ryan is an up and coming municipal attorney, does a lot of work with schools, but he's been helping me a lot. And I tell you, Ryan, a lot of the clients are very, happy with your work.
No, you know, I appreciate that.
They really are. I got a couple of compliments this week on your municipal work. So that, public sector work at the schools is really carrying over well on the municipal side as well. So you've done FOIL work with me and
a lot
contract
of FOIL
stuff
for a long time, yeah.
And it's really been very helpful. So we're going to go back to answering calls, but if you have calls, folks, you have questions, burning questions, this is the time to burn off your turkey dinners and to give us a call at 518-476-1300. And who do we start with? Who's our first caller? Ken from Albany, I think. So
Latham, I think.
Oh, Latham, close enough. Hello, Ken. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Happy to, Ken. What do you got?
I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to try to make it short.
Sure.
My question is regards to incorporating. I would like to go from a sole proprietor.
You could.
I'd like to switch to incorporating. What are the pros and cons of doing so?
Well, there are very few cons. I guess it costs a little bit of money, and you can either be an LLC, which is the simplest thing, or a corporation, and you can be a subchapter S corporation, which means the money's flow into you. If you're a solo practitioner or proprietor, you personally, all your assets are on the hook. So if you have $10,000 to your name and you get sued, someone can get every penny that you have and you become, you become poor. But if you have a small business or some business and you incorporate, as long as you follow corporate formalities, all of those liabilities flow to the corporation or the LLC, unless you agree otherwise, which is called a personal guarantee. So what you should do if there's any potential liability in your entity, and there always is, of some type, you're better off separating your personal assets, your home, your car, you know, your jewelry and all those things from your corporate assets, and you just risk less, and it makes life easier because if something goes wrong with that business, you can fold the business, start a new one, and not go personally under or need personal bankruptcy. So the only difference is expense. An LLC requires a certain amount of publication for you to get those protections, and that can cost $400 or $500, and then the filing fee with the Department of State. So does that answer your question, or you think there's really no reason not to incorporate, especially with an LLC? They're virtually simple as can be, and it flows through your taxes, so you don't have to have a separate tax return for a different entity. So it's done all the time. People do it, there's very little downside other than the small filing fees and the publication cost.
Okay. What about my personal income? I can't pay myself under a DBA. So, I mean, because all the money I make, basically, I get taxed on.
Well, you're going to get taxed on it either way. So whether it's a DBA, you're going to get taxed on your income. But you can deduct expenses, for the company. If you put the company car in company's name, you can deduct part of that as long as you use it for business purposes. There, you know, again, the tax code can change, but at this point, there are advantages to incorporating. You get the liability help, and then you can deduct certain expenses that your accountant can help you with.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you, Ken.
Good luck. And if you need help incorporating, we do that all the time. And our number at the office is 518-462-0300. Well, let's keep the calls rolling. Who's our next? Okay, it's an open line. Wow, gee, people, this is amazing. It's like waking up on Black Friday and not having anybody in front of you at the stores. Have you ever do that, Ryan?
My wife's one of those folks, though.
She does. She goes out early.
She goes out not as early as some. She has. We've kind of reined her in a little bit, but yeah, she'll get out there in the morning. She actually said it was a little quieter than. Mm. In past years.
Well, my favorite, I did it once. And
did you?
The kids were young. Oh, God. It had to be probably 20 years ago.
Okay.
There was a TV set that my daughter wanted, and there was something my son wanted. So I went to two separate stores. I woke up at, I think, 5 o'clock to get to Walmart or one of the big box stores. I think it was Walmart. Yes. And I got there and I opened it and I ran in and I didn't like the TV they had for sale. So I got a bigger one, a little bit bigger one that wasn't on super sale, but it was on sale and I was happy with it. And I'm in line and people start harassing me. Wait a second. You got the wrong one. I said, no, I got the one I want. Well, no, I bought that one last year. That's a great TV. You should get that TV. And here I am at like 5:30 a.m. being harassed by people telling me I bought the wrong TV.
Yeah, I don't have the energy for that.
And then I went to another store and saw something and then bought it and then came back like that afternoon for something else. And I saw about 12 of the items for the same price, at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So that was it for me. I gave up on, Black Friday.
You're going to have the joy soon, Sal. Now,
what's that?
Of racing around for that.
Oh, toys?
Must have Christmas present for your grandchildren.
Yeah.
That's, get ready for that. I mean, you're going to be back in the mix of it.
Well,
every year it's something new.
518-476-1300. If you want to share any horror stories, you're welcome to. Fortunately, get to practice law and don't have to worry about, Black Friday. But judging by the newspaper, there were so many ads in the paper. I mean, a lot of businesses, this is really the time of the year. It's make or break time and, they really do need it. And I guess today is, local
small business Saturday.
So, I mean, every day is named. I think next Tuesday will be Gervin and Ferlazzo Tuesday.
Well, Cyber Monday, so we can't take that one.
Well, you can't take that one. So next Tuesday is Gervin and Ferlazzo Tuesday. You can email us and call us, and we'll have services for you ranging from wills to personal injury issues and harassment training. We should have like the Gervin and Filazzo store. So like Amazon, you can click on, I would like, you know, this or that. And it's kind of funny, but who knows what's going to happen, you know, with services, because the world changed a ton.
Sure.
And online, we get a lot of online clients. And I always ask clients when they call in with new names, you know, gee, why'd you pick us? And we get a lot. And I'd say a high percentage of people, well, I use the web and I search you guys out and you seem to have, you know, what I need. And, that's not only just in personal injury area, but commercial work as well. We do a lot of, commercial work,
sure.
Buying and selling businesses, a lot of small businesses. So, you know, while we do school and education law, that's the most of our attorneys, like maybe half of our firm, you know, has that practice. We do a lot of, corporations, small, and most companies are small businesses. And small doesn't mean they have, you know, three people. Many of the small businesses may have 30 people or 40. And that's where, you know, they can really, use the help, because a lot of them don't have full-time HR departments, and human resources is a tricky field. And that's where I know Scott Cannell, Pat Fitzgerald, you know, come in handy with the training, whether it's sexual harassment or other types of training.
Discrimination,
which is a very, you know, tough area. But you can lose a lot, or some other areas involving overtime and things like that, where you mm-hmm. can really get hurt if you're not careful. So there's a lot of questions out there. We hope you've enjoyed the show this year. We've had a bunch of guests on, and we're going to continue that. We like having guests on every so often to spice it up and have different perspectives. There are other lawyers in the world other than Gervin and Filazzo. I don't know who they are, but I heard the rumor that there may be a couple out there, and they're good, and they're nice people, and generally in the Albany area, you're going to find a certain uniformity. And a lot of it's personality. Some firms, you know, are different than others. But at our firm, we all get along well. It's funny. We chat with other attorneys sometimes in different firms, and they'll talk about the cultures, and it's important. I think if you have a good internal culture, that helps you with your external culture. When you're dealing with people, we all pull together. So it's like a rowing team. We want to be on mm-hmm. the same page. And it's not easy, because, you know, lawyers have egos and everybody wants to be, you know, a hot shot. But we've got a nice group, and our staff is really good. I have a couple of new paralegals who are really shining.
Great folks.
I'm very thankful for them, as well as Daniel Rubin, Matt Tullio. We have a great collection group, too, which we do a lot of heavy-duty collections. I mean, major collections. On a broad scale throughout several states, Connecticut and New York, I even got admitted in Vermont.
I saw that
to try to see if we're going to continue in that area. But I really haven't been active in Vermont. But we did have our firm getaway up in Dorset, and
beautiful.
And I told the waiter, I said, "I'm the only one admitted here in Vermont, so treat me well." And he did. He treated everybody well, but he treated me well too. So Ryan, what kind of things have you been focusing on lately? This is the Gervin and Filazzo Law Show, 518-476-1300. Only a handful of minutes left, so if you want to join, we only have time for maybe one or two calls. What kind of stuff, legal work, are you focusing your efforts on
this
lately?
This has been the exciting time of year, Sal. We had the elections earlier in the month, and that's
correct.
For our office, and we do a lot of the municipal work. Sal, I know you're in villages, towns, cities all over the place, and that bleeds into what I do a lot, just because with the school districts, but also the towns and villages and county work. So like other clients, well, maybe unlike other clients, sometimes our names and faces changes when we're dealing with our municipal folks, because elections will come in.
Yes.
New people will come
in. There's always new people.
And I think we do a really nice job transitioning over to new folks, because we can give that legal advice regardless of, you know, what party affiliations there may be, and get the people the answers that they need in accordance with the law.
Well,
that's always fun.
Well, and that's the tricky part. Sometimes people try to politicize the lawyers if it's a municipality.
Right.
And we do our best to, we don't make decisions. The people you vote for make the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
guide them to keep them out of legal trouble.
Right.
So they have like a highway. You've got a lot of room between the yellow and the white lines. We try to keep them within those lines. And what they do, is really what they want to do, but there is an issue when a new person comes in, you know, how do they handle it? You have to reintroduce ourselves, and the school districts do. Boards change.
Boards change.
We try to be the steady rock.
We've been very successful with that. We've been in our municipal clients. We've been there for numerous different administrations, and I love working with those folks, just different board members and supervisors, all good people.
Okay. Well, speaking of good people, we got a good caller, Pete from Niskayuna. Hello, Pete. Welcome to the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Pete. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Thanks for calling and keeping us on our toes here. What do you got going today?
Basically, you take a person who's worked 32 years,
okay,
who's 54, who's worked with a disability. Now that disability is making it harder for him to get around.
Okay.
He can retire in a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Can he file for Social Security?
Okay, sounds like a very general question.
So you're looking for Social Security disability?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that there are standards for that, and we have a person in the office, Tara Moffitt, who handles our Social Security disability, and I don't know when she's going to be on next, but that is a very precise question, which you need a Social Security disability attorney to figure out. What my okay. general understanding, Pete, is you need a medical support, and you go on the website and you.
I've got a neurologist. I've got my GP.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Surgeon.
Okay. You got the medicals. Well, what I know and in talking to Tara, and I understand in general is that you make the application. And the lawyers get involved frequently if it's a denial.
Right.
So if you make the application with all your medical support, and you can go on the website and do that. If you're denied, then the lawyers can come in and show how that denial was wrong. So, you know, many times you got to try first, and if it doesn't work, then lawyers can get involved. It sounds like you've got a pretty strong case, considering.
I mean, this person, fears that really guilty applying for it, but they've been told that you've earned it. So
they shouldn't feel guilty for anything. They've absolutely earned it. They worked hard many years, and 54 is kind of youngish to retire, but if they're disabled, then they deserve it. That's why Congress allows it. It's a federal law, which is exactly for this situation. Especially you mentioned several types of medical professionals. I think that what your friend or you, whoever is involved in this situation, should do is to make an application, and if it's denied, give us a call.
I'll be a little more specific.
Okay.
They have cerebral palsy.
Okay. Well, cerebral palsy can really affect you, dramatically. And that certainly you can be disabled from cerebral palsy. The medical records are really what need to be shown. And if it's denied, then that's the time in which we generally get involved.
Okay.
So, I would encourage him to make the application, and then if it's denied, give us a call, and we can send you to Tara, and we'd be happy to help. And thanks for calling, Pete. I appreciate it. It's great to hear from you and everybody over in Niskayuna. Okay, thank you, Pete. And we have another Niskayunian, Paul from Niskayuna. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Do you guys delve into a state law?
We don't. I mean, I can give you some generals. I'm the executor of my mother's estate, so I'm going through a certain amount of it myself. But in terms of that's not our specialty, we do make referrals to people who do that type of work. But what's your general question? We'll see if we can guide you somewhere help you out.
Okay. So if there's a parent who has a relationship and is married to an individual and has, let's say, numerous children, and then decides to remarry later on in life and leaves the other family and starts a new family with children, so that the second set of children become the half-brothers and sisters of the original family, and the parent dies, if there's one parent left, and the parent dies without any specific notations in a will to direct the proceeds of the estate. I guess my question is, do both parties have a claim on any estate funds?
Yes. Yeah, it's the law of intestate succession. So let's make it easy. Let's say it's the father, has children with woman number one. Then they divorce. He remarries. He has wife number two, and he has other children. So he has two from the first marriage, two from the second. Under intestate succession, his children would be entitled to certain assets. His second wife may be as well. So yes, you can't disinherit your wife. But if you're divorced, it's no longer your wife, so therefore wife number one is not going to be in the picture unless there is a will giving her something. But, yeah, there's a law of intestate succession, which basically the legislature tells you what you're going to do with your assets if you don't otherwise specify. And it's,
all right.
Does
that clause, I guess the word I'm looking for, does that trump, excuse the expression, Does that law trump the anything that's specific in the will that leaves it to the second family but nothing to the first?
Well, I think you mixed apples and oranges here, Paul. You said the will. So the intestate succession is only where you don't have a will. If you have a will, the will controls unless the will is illegal.
I guess both. So what I'm saying is if the will doesn't have anything that specifies the distribution of proceeds of the estate to any specific party, then would that come into play?
Well, it could if the will is that poorly drafted. Let's say an individual drafted their own will and just didn't transfer things. Then I believe you would have to look at what the will did. If the will, I mean, your hypothetical is this. If a will says, okay, I want my burial items and my taxes paid, and that's it, and it doesn't say who gets the assets, then the laws of intestate succession would control, because again, there's no directions. It's really a very poorly drawn will. Most wills will say, I give half to my son, half to my other son, or whatever they want to put in there. So I think you should have your will, or this will, or yeah, have this will looked at by someone who is, a professional. And if you want to email me, I can send you the names of people. I'm at sdf@gervinlaw.com. And basically, you need to have that reviewed. There's a little bit of a disconnect there because I've never seen a will that didn't have the distribution of all the assets. That's the whole purpose of the will. Now, just finishing up, Paul, if people transfer items before they die, they're gone. So that can happen sometimes in these multiple marriage situations where, you know, jewelry or guns or stock can be transferred before death, and the will then could be an empty will. No matter what it says, it makes no difference. But your question, your hypothetical, and thank you for calling, that, you know, if there is no will and you have children, children, they're his children. They're not half-brothers or half-sisters. They're his children, and they will, get something under the will, under the law of New York State. So I think, Ryan, we're done with questions. It looks like we answered a bunch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good day.
It was a great day, Sam.
Yeah.
Great to be here with you.
Yeah, it was great to be here, too. The studios are a little different now. We're enclosed here without light. We only have light along one side. Yeah. It's like a little... not a dungeon.
It's cozy,
but I got to tell you, the Pepsi Arena, for folks who haven't seen it.
Times Union Center,
used to be called the Pepsi. The TU Center looks fabulous. When you look at the vestibule, it's gorgeous. There's Christmas lighting.
It is beautiful.
There's a waterfall. I mean, it is absolutely stunning. So the people who designed this place, the main space should be thanked because it is beautiful. I'm hopefully going to have arena football and a bunch of stuff that's going to revitalize.
I might try out, Sal.
Yeah, you know what? You'd be good. You would be good. So if you have any questions, folks, you have to leave until next week. We're here every week from 10 to 11. Today was a special day because of just circumstances. The investment show guys were not here today, so we pitched in and tried to move it along so Paul Vanderburg could be happy. And who doesn't want to make Paul happy?
We want Paul happy.
He's happy every day. I mean, he's always, you know, explaining how he loves things like Metroplex and things like things like that. And for those listeners who are here, we'll laugh when they hear that, because he can be a little critical at times. But I want to thank him. He's actually allowed us to have an opportunity over the last 16 years to communicate with a lot of folks we never would have met. And guys like Jerry, who's out there listening, who knows who he's talking about, I'm talking about, became clients and buddies, and a lot of other people we may never have met.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a great run here on Talk 1300. The new FM is exciting. We've got a lot of things to be thankful for, but mainly our health, and really what we try to do as lawyers is to treat you like we treat our family. So if you ever have any needs in the personal injury area, other areas, feel free to give us a call at the office. We'll be back next and every week for the foreseeable future here on Talk 1300. Thank you, Ryan, for coming in.
Thank you, Sal, for having me.
Bye, folks.
This is WGDJ, Rensselaer, and W254DA, Albany, the Capital District's talk radio on Talk 1300 and 98.7 FM.